A major cyber attack on the nation's critical infrastructure will happen in the next 10 years, says Director of the National Security Agency and Commander of U.S. Cyber Command, Admiral Mike Rogers. He tells the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence the only way to handle the threat is to build a true partnership among the private sector, the public sector, and academia. Chris Comiskey is former acting undersecretary for management at the Homeland Security Department and built a reputation trying to prevent that kind of cyber attack during his tenure at DHS. Chris, congratulations on your consultancy. Thank you very much for being on the program. Admiral Rogers talked about multiple nation states and others who have this capability or can obtain this capability in the coming years. How do you build that kind? How do you build a defense strategy against a threat landscape that evolves that quickly, Chris? Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, thank you, Francis. One of the things that we're seeing over the last several years is really a targeting by nation-state actors as well as criminal syndicates on things like government personnel, data systems, and you know, these control systems that are used to in the critical infrastructure of the country, whether it's energy or dam control or things of that nature. And so we're seeing an uptick in that kind of activity. And since there's so much of this 85% or upwards in the private sector's hands, that's really where the action is in terms of working that partnership that the Admiral is describing.
So China and Russia are always the first names that come to mind. Do we pay potentially too much attention to them at the risk of ignoring smaller nation states, and now even non-state actors who have these capabilities may not have exercised them at the levels that we've seen from some of the larger states?
No, I think you're right. I think we can't limit our scope on this to just the major players that typically fall onto that list, although those are the ones that you know tend to surface. There are a lot of countries around the world that are you know constantly probing U.S. networks and looking for vulnerabilities in the private sector, and so I think that's right. We need to keep that aperture open.
Do we ask the right questions right now about what the threat landscape looks like now, what we think it may look like in the years to come, and then the proper ways to defend against that, and not just sit back and wait for it to happen, but also to be proactive to try to anticipate moves that we could make to defend ourselves better against breaches happening in the first place. And I'm not just talking about the government. I'm talking about that triumvirate that I talked about with the private sector and academia too, Chris.
Yeah, I think you're correct in that it's got to be a multi-pronged approach. And what we're trying to do in the recent years, and I think more effectively, is that relationship with the NSA and the FBI and DHS, particularly on the government side, and really working and doing the outreach with the critical infrastructure around the country, whether it's through the EO, you know, NIST framework that we've been pursuing, or other one-offs in terms of each sector, whether it's financial services or energy, trying to build those relationships out because we understand that it's going to keep happening. And then whether or not we're ready, prepared to respond, I think is going to be the question.
You have a unique perspective here too, Chris, because I note that you were the chief information officer of the state of Arizona for 6 years and were instrumental in implementing a cybersecurity plan there before people knew cybersecurity was cool. And so it strikes me that relationship is one that kind of gets lost in that group of three that I talked about a moment ago, because public sector, I think most people automatically, even in this business, automatically go to the federal government. Is that fair to say?
I think that is fair, and oftentimes the state and local governments don't have either the resources or the in-house sophistication to pull this off. I'm glad to see the federal government starting to reach out through the multi-state ISAC and you know the use of the critical controls that the Center on Cybersecurity has been talking about to try and get those tools in the hands of state and local governments.
Do we just need to spend as much time as we've been spending, do you think, Chris, on the source of the attacks? I mentioned the large state actors, smaller state actors, non-state actors. Is it important anymore where the attacks are coming from as far as defending them and understanding them and trying to anticipate them in the future?
No, I think as important is to make sure that we recognize that these kinds of infiltrations are going to go on and it's hard to stop them at the perimeter. And so once they're in the networks, it's the ability to have a continuous diagnostics and mitigation framework, both for the government and the other legs of that stool you described, so that we can make sure that once they're in, we can detect them because it's going to be hard to completely keep them off these networks.
As you've transitioned out of government and begin to work with private sector companies, and you go to talk to folks, what is their perception of the relationship that they have with DHS that you're seeing now that maybe you didn't see when you were inside the agency?
Yeah, it's been fascinating in many respects because the private sector companies are, you know, making the case that, you know, it's hard for them to share information under this voluntary framework, even though they have that desire to be cooperative. And so I think absent legislation or more of a regulatory structure, we're always going to have these kind of gaps that companies are hesitant to step forward because of whether liability issues or just a lack of incentive structure.
You kind of anticipated where I was going to go next, which is why is it hard to share that information? Is it because of policies, procedures, or laws that are in place now, or is it apprehension on their part about sharing potentially proprietary information or revealing vulnerabilities or something else?
No, I think you've hit all the markers on that. It's usually at least all three of those, and that the companies feel like they're going to be penalized for stepping forward. They don't want to admit that they've had an intrusion until they absolutely have to, or they're, you know, in the midst of trying to figure out what they've got going on. And so those are usually the elements that are at play.
So the old line is, I've told this story before, but I haven't told it to you, so I'll tell it again. I'm reminded of being in the Target near me last year after the big breach there, and it came out during the week, and I was there on a Saturday, and there was no lack of people that continued to shop and continued to swipe their cards, and nobody really seemed to care that much, Chris, that this huge data breach had just happened. And so I wonder if at least as far, I mean, obviously, as far as the average citizen goes, that stigma is gone. And I wonder if that is at least disappearing among companies, if it's not completely gone already.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that companies, it becomes so prevalent that these attacks occur almost every day in the news that there's the desensitization that happens with the public. And so they say, well, it's going to happen, and there's nothing I can do to protect myself. And so companies, I think, have got to, you know, move beyond just intrusion prevention and figure out, you know, can they detect what's on these networks and act to mitigate more effectively?
Is it possible that viewpoint from their customers might lead companies to feel less apprehension and feel less of a stigma about reporting these issues, maybe not publicly, maybe not to the degree, the level of scrutiny that some of the big breaches that we got, but at least sharing that information with DHS and sharing it with other points of interest who need to know that these things are going on?
Yeah, I think there have been significant strides with the private sector because there are so many incidents. I don't think they feel that there is a stigma as much anymore. So you're getting a lot more cooperation. It tends to then pivot to the issue of liability if it's more of an intrusion that's going to, you know, expose individual data of individual, you know, personal information, or if it's a security breach of that sort. So it's starting to slice into different pieces, but we are getting better cooperation.
Chris Comiskey, formerly of DHS and now principal in his own consulting firm, Comiskey Strategic Solutions here in Washington. I want to take you back to Admiral Rogers' remarks that we began our conversation with, Chris. When he made those comments, by 2025, critical infrastructure will be attacked. A lot of people seem to be surprised by that. I wonder if folks who have been following these issues like you have been are really surprised by that, because I imagine there are a number of folks in the cyber community that really weren't.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you spend a lot of time on this day to day, it's not too surprising that the Admiral made that statement. I think that it hasn't been made as publicly as I think he made it, so that may have taken some folks by surprise. But we know that these SCADA systems, these critical controls that are so oftentimes web based or, you know, connected to other nodes, are going to be targets by, you know, outside interests. And so that's kind of where I think things are trending. And it's important that the NSA and DHS and the FBI and the other actors on the landscape, you know, start to articulate that so folks can, you know, have transparency.
Are the lines of delineation, in your view, clear enough among DHS, Cyber Command, and other people involved with this in government that the right people are doing the right things right now, Chris?
Well, there's better cooperation, certainly, between the triumvirate there that I described. I think that there's still a little bit of uncertainty as to who are the first responders. You know, is it the Secret Service through the financial services sector? Is it the FBI on a criminal investigation? Is it an NSA hunt team that there's going in to detect at the request of a private sector company? And so when you get all those players and DHS in the midst of that, I think we have better incident response, but we need to make sure that those things are clearly articulated.